This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
The only person with a denim jacket large enough to fit on a bull kangaroo was the bus driver. Guess what was in the pocket of the denim jacket?
Dope.
The keys to the bus.
Oh, no!
Class is in.
All the music that's fit to play. This is Rock School on the Rock School Radio Network. My name is Joe Burns, a professor in the Communications Department, Southeastern Louisiana University, with a brand new water bottle.
How about that?
Look at that, ergonomically shaped so you can grip it with the hands.
32 ounces of yummy goodness.
It's beautiful. Right, what do you got in there? Yummy water?
Yeah, just water. I'm trying to drink a lot of water. You know what happened to my old one?
What's that?
I left it in a vacant house because I went with the wife over the weekend to show it.
Yeah.
And I'm walking around trying to get the sale done. Wow, look at these countertops. Look at this. This is great. And I, like an idiot, I went with the guy up in the attic to look at all the attic space and left my bottle up there.
Yeah, away went the water bottle. Mm-hmm. I have for us, Chad P., another one of my books here.
What you got there?
Outrageous Rumors, Legends, and Raucous True Tales of Rock and Roll Icons, Rockstar Babylon.
What does that mean?
By John Holmes. Not that John Holmes. What? Another guy named John Holmes, a Brit by the name of John Holmes. But anyway, the name of the book is Rockstar Babylon, and it is nothing more than little 2-3-4-page stories of goofy stories, things that rock stars have done.
Oh, is this Rock Stars Do the Dumbest Things Part 2?
You could have named it that.
I think we really will.
And it's just great. It's just one little story after another one. Allow me to begin this story.
Who are we talking about?
Status Quo is the first band.
Uh-huh.
Now, as somebody your age might not know Status Quo real well. Do you know the band Status Quo?
I'm in radio, so yes, I do.
Well, they had a hit called Rockin' All Over the World. The other thing they might be known for is they opened up Live Aid.
Mm-hmm.
They were the first band. Well, in the mid-1980s, Status Quo was by tour bus going around Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now what does that matter by tour bus? Well, Australia is huge, and the cities aren't right next to each other. So you spend a lot of time in the tour bus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're 300 miles from anything when they hit a kangaroo.
Oh, you hate when that happens.
Well, they hit a kangaroo. Now, as a rock band, what do? Do you get out and, oh gosh, that's terrible, push the kangaroo off to the side? No.
Oh,
you take the kangaroo and you put a denim jacket on the kangaroo. You put a hat on the kangaroo and you put sunglasses on the kangaroo. And then you have your picture taken with each member of the band.
With a dead kangaroo?
With a dead kangaroo. The thing is, the kangaroo not dead.
I knew it.
This bull kangaroo gets up and jumps away.
Yes.
Top speed of a kangaroo, by the way, 37 miles an hour. So none of the aging members of Status Quo can catch the kangaroo. They think this is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, the only person with a denim jacket large enough to fit on a bull kangaroo was the bus driver.
Uh-huh.
Guess what was in the pocket of the denim jacket?
Dope.
The keys to the bus.
Oh, no!
So Status Quo spent the rest of the evening until 300 miles from nowhere, somebody finally happened by and was able to get someone out there to start the bus. They actually made it to their next gig, but away and somewhere still in the desert Australia.
There's a bull kangaroo with some bus keys.
That's right, but can't drive the bus. Don't let the kangaroo drive the bus. Here you go, Status Quo, rocking all over the world. Rock School. We'll be right back. Status Quo, rocking all over the world.
Only kangaroo that hops with a jingle.
That's right. Look, keys. We're dealing with Rockstar Babylon, written by John Holmes. I'm going to say that every time I say the title of the book.
Pitiful.
Do you know who Rick Wakeman is?
No.
Rick Wakeman is the keyboardist, or was the keyboardist, for Yes.
Okay.
But that's not really why we care about Rick Wakeman. When Rick Wakeman left Yes, he went on to be this guy who created these albums that were progressive rock, I guess, mantras of music. Unbelievably difficult key signatures, unbelievably difficult rhythm time signatures,
yeah.
And huge things like Journey to the Center of the Earth, album titles like Myths and Legends of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, things like that.
Good
Just,
Lord.
Oh yeah, they're, to listen to them, you had to have an advanced degree.
Mm-hmm.
So Rick Wakeman has a heart attack, and it, that's not the funny part.
Well, it's not
I don't know.
Funny.
Maybe it was funny at the time. But
were you thinking I was going to laugh at
that? Well, I don't know, but you kind of grinned a little bit.
No, I didn't.
Rick Wakeman has a heart attack, and while he's in the hospital recovering from this heart attack,
yeah.
He envisions how he will perform this King Arthur album.
Okay.
He is going to have a full symphony orchestra, an English chamber choir, a full band, lighting set, costumes, a spectacular Arthurian stage, smoke, wizardry, and perform the whole thing on. You ready for this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ice.
Oh, okay. Like
gonna,
ice capades.
Right. It's going to be Rick Wakeman on ice.
Hey, that's good. That's big aspirations. That's
okay.
Big vision. I like it.
Yes, aspirations. Once out of the hospital, Mr. Wakeman sets about planning this spectacle, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Wizards, the whole schmeal.
Right.
He gets the Wembley Empire Swimming Pool Arena.
Okay.
The night of the premiere, it comes near, right? Crowds flock in, shivering, because you can't freeze just the area.
Mm-hmm.
You have to freeze the whole place.
Uh-huh.
There they are, ready to go. He comes up, stands before the keyboard.
Oh, here we go.
Presses the keys, nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
Because synthesizers at that time wouldn't work below 50 degrees.
Uh-oh.
Every single instrument froze.
Oh, no.
Okay? So, what do you do?
What do you do?
You warm the place up.
And then the ice melts.
Right. So, they warm it up to the point where they start to play.
Uh-huh.
Right? And it starts to play. The people come out to start to dance, and they start to hit wet patches. Poof! So, they go down. So, now you have this thing going on where poof! And King Arthur is going splabble right into the water and squonk, and it's just not going well. And finally, they said, that's enough. So, now we got a disaster with pointy hats and cardboard swords. But it was nice. They only got to play it once. But that one time
wow.
They did it, I guess they turned it into a Monty Python bit.
Mm-hmm.
Here is Rick Wakeman with Fine People of Yes. This is him playing all the keyboard parts on Roundabout.
Do we get the sploof?
If you'd
sounds?
Like, we can turn on the microphones right in the middle of it. In and around the lake.
Sploof!
Rock School. Sploof.
Sploof.
Yeah, sploof.
It's a great word.
All right. After that 8-minute epic, Rockstar Babylon's a book we're talking about. Here's one from Aerosmith. There's no dates on this one, so whether this is true or not, I don't know, but still, fantastic story.
Mm-hmm.
Walk This Way.
Okay.
In the 70s, when the Toxic Twins, Perry and of course,
Tyler.
Steven Tyler, were taking drug upon drug upon drug, they always closed their show with Walk This Way.
It's the biggest hit they had at
you got
the time.
It. Right. Apparently, during rehearsals, they would have, you know, week breaks, and they mm-hmm. would come back and they would do rehearsals.
Sure.
Their stage manager said, now, before we play Cleveland, they're playing Ohio that mm-hmm. night, before we play Cleveland, why don't we, since we've been closing with Walk This Way now for close to a year and a half, why don't we open with Walk This Way? Makes sense. Let's mix up the
set
list.
Change things around. Yeah.
Everybody's used to it.
No
Let's
problem.
Open with Walk This Way. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
They walk out on stage,
uh-huh.
you know, Tyler, Perry, Hamilton, Kramer, Whitford. Ah, walk this way!
Mm-hmm.
Walk this way! Wow, wow! Boom, hit the final chord. Thank you, Ohio. Good night.
Oh, no.
They were so drunk, they thought, They had played their last song. Played one, walked off the stage.
No way.
That's it. I'm not sure it's a true story, but...
It's great.
Great if it is or not. There you go. Here's Aerosmith. Rock School. Aerosmith right here on Rock School. That's right. Are you sure? They were drunk enough they didn't know they were playing their first or opening song, but they remember they were in Ohio.
Maybe he had it written on the back of his guitar.
Could be. Could be. Could be. We're dealing with the book Rockstar Babylon by John Holmes. Once again, I'm going to say the name every single time I mention the...
Is that necessary?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it is.
Okay.
I'm going to give you another story here. We're not going to play the song, but since we've got the book here... John Bon Jovi in 86, 87, huge band.
Oh, big time, yeah.
Massive band.
Exploding.
So they decide to bring along another band. You know, let's give another group another chance, and we'll help them. We'll use our fame, right?
Who did they get?
Skid Row.
Hey!
Did you know that? They helped out Sebastian Bach and Skid Row?
No, I did not.
Well, John Bon Jovi has always been kind of like Bruce Springsteen in that he has dealt with all of the finances.
Uh-huh.
He sort of pays the band, and he does the finances for all those that deal with him.
No problem.
Now, if Ralph hears me say that Bon Jovi is like Bruce Springsteen, I'm going to have to run to my car because he will tackle me in the parking lot and kill me. Here's the thing.
Okay.
They're playing an outdoor concert. Uh-huh. It's like 100,000 people.
Sure.
Skid Row has just gone on. They're the opening act, mm-hmm. and they're off stage. Well, at this point, probably because of drink and drugs, Sebastian Bach decides that this is the point at which I intend to discuss the finances with Mr. Bon Jovi.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's time for the main band to go on, Bon Jovi, and up the stairs goes the bassist, right. Richie Sambora, the keyboardist, the drummer. They're going up
there. Hey, John, not so fast.
This is the point at which I wish to speak to you. All of a sudden, he's Bill Cosby. This is the point at which I wish to speak to you about the Pudding Pops. He's on his way up the stairs. And apparently, at this point, Sebastian Bach jumps right in front of him and says something to the effect of, "We don't think we're getting paid enough money." Bon Jovi balls up a fist uh-huh. and cracks him, drops him into a hump, steps over him, and in 10 seconds is in front of 100,000 people.
Yeah, Sebastian, I think somebody blew his pilot light out a long time ago.
He's about what? What do you think? A pack of French fries short of a Happy Meal point in time?
Right, yeah. If that.
All right. Hello there, KLSU. Thanks for running the radio show over there on Tiger Radio.
Hello, KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana, which was the first town on the new Skid Row tour.
How about that?
Look
I had no
that.
Idea.
Sploof.
And somebody punched him, right? In the mouth. Get us on the Facebook. That's with the computorial device. Search Rock School Radio Show. And if you are our 200th fan right there, if you like us, you like us, you really like us, you'll get a nice email from Chad and I saying, Donka Shane, darling, I'm not going to sing it.
I don't know how to spell that.
Back in a minute. Rock School. Oh, this story is brilliant.
How is it brilliant?
We're dealing with the book Rockstar Babylon by John Holmes. This story is brilliant.
Okay.
It's about Kiss. Remember last week I said I didn't want to play Kiss?
Yes.
Because I want to play Kiss this week. This is brilliant.
Go ahead.
Gene Simmons rolls to the front of the stage in front of 73,000 people in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And he yells, "Are you having a good time?" Right?
Mm-hmm.
"We're going to do a big song for you now." Ah, right? "You ready for another?" "What's the second song off the Destroyer album?" And they scream back at him, "King of the Nighttime World." They scream back at him. Pause. Another pause. Gene says, "Okay, wait a minute. What's the first song on the Destroyer album?" "Detroit Rock City." "That's right." And then they exploded into Detroit Rock City.
He kind of didn't know what song they were playing.
Isn't that great? Here's Detroit Rock City. That's Kiss. Rock School. Poor Gene Simmons. Poor Gene. You know, you don't like to laugh, but if you do music that long, it has to happen.
Yeah,
you
can't be perfect that long.
Hello, Cleveland. Detroit. Detroit.
That happened to me. I've been working in Baton Rouge for the last 13 years for the 13th Gate.
Yeah.
And I was DJing their cast party, and a girl that's been working alongside of me, whose name is Jessica, won an award, like a Lifetime Achievement Award. And I say, give it up for Jennifer.
Oops.
Yeah. I mean, I know this person.
Yeah, do that kind of stuff. Like when I call my wife and, that's not a story that's required here. Welcome to the bottom of the hour, plus about 3 minutes. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm John Holmes.
February 28th through March 6th, Monday through March 6th. Go ahead. I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. Just do Monday, John.
February 28th. In 1991, legendary recording studio, the Record Plant, the Record Plant in Hollywood, California, closes its doors.
I don't know what we're doing. Tuesday, March 1st, 1991, 20 years ago, biopic The Doors, featuring Val Kilmer in the role of Jim Morrison, opens up in theaters.
March 2nd, just 5 years ago in 2006, the shine came off of Mr. Gary Glitter when he was tried on charges of child molestation.
You know he got caught?
Nuh-uh.
He got caught when he took his computer in to have it repaired.
Oh, that dummy.
Yeah, they found all the pictures on there. Thursday, March 3rd, 1966, 45 years ago, notable 60s rock group Buffalo Springfield forms.
Friday, March 4th, that's a Friday this year, but back in 1966, John Lennon of the Beatles set off an avalanche of controversy when he told a London Evening Standard newspaper that the Beatles were probably bigger than Jesus right now.
And never apologized. Saturday, March 5th, 1963, Patsy Cline, Cowboy Copas, and Hank Shaw Hawkins are all killed when their plane crashes in Tennessee. And then Sunday, March 6th in 1970, dig this, Charles Manson releases his album Lie.
I remember that.
Yeah, you can still get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you really, really want it. Back to the book, Rockstar Babylon, written by
me,
John Holmes. This is a charming story.
By who?
Do you know the lead singer? I guess not the lead singer. I guess it would be the guitarist and main songwriter to the Eurythmics. His name is Dave Stewart.
Okay. I know the Eurythmics.
Dave Stewart is a fan and a friend of Bob Dylan.
Fair enough.
Well, Bob Dylan decides to go visit Dave Stewart.
Uh-huh.
Goes up to a house where Dave Stewart lives. Knocks on the door. Nice woman arrives at the door. Yes, may I help you? Is Dave Stewart here? No, Dave is out at the moment. Would you like to wait for him? Yes, I would. And so Bob Dylan walks in and sits down and is having a nice chat. How long have you known Dave Stewart? I know him very well. He is my son. Oh, so you're Dave Stewart's mother. Yes. Uh-huh. Oh, that's wonderful. Who are you, young man? Oh, I'm Robert Dylan. I'm Bob Dylan. My real name is Zimmerman. Oh, good. And they have a nice little chat. Dave Stewart finally comes home.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Dave Stewart, the plumber. Dave Stewart, the plumber, who has nothing to do with Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics, who comes in and about half dies because Bob Dylan, who has been a childhood hero of this guy forever, looks at him and says, yes, I'm Bob Dylan. Who are you?
I'm Dave Stewart.
Oh, you want the Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics. He lives three houses over. So there you go. But he had a lovely little discussion with this Dave Stewart's mother. And here's a song from Bob Dylan. It Ain't Me, Babe. No kidding. Right here. Rock School.
Go away from my window. Leave at your own chosen speed. I'm not the one you want, babe.
Bob Dylan. That was just a cute little story. Not much comedy to it. Just a little cute one.
You walk in.
I'm Bob Dylan.
Who are you?
What are you doing in Dave Stewart's house? Have you ever heard of Brinsley Schwartz?
No.
Brinsley Schwartz. It was a band that contained Nick Lowe.
Okay.
Nick Lowe, as in Gotta Be Cruel to Be Kind in the Right Measure.
Yes, sir.
Brinsley Schwartz decided, once they got signed, that they were going to do something big and huge and brilliant.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of those where we're going to just kaboom, and this is something the world will remember.
Like Wizards on Ice?
No, not Wizards on Ice, not Sploosh. But what they actually did was set up a New York concert. But in order to make it so the New York concert would have worldwide appeal, they decided to take all the music critics that they knew back in Ireland, Wales, Scotland, put them all on a jet, fly them from Ireland and Scotland and Wales over to New York to see the concert. So they would see the concert, then fly back, write about it, and in one shot, kafloompy,
the entire world.
They would, see it all. This is not a dumb idea.
No, it's not that bad.
Okay. And then it started to go wrong.
Uh-oh.
First, the jet that was carrying all of the people, because it was set up. This was going to happen.
Sure.
The jet that got it all set up experienced some technical difficulties over the Atlantic, had to turn around and go back. So it landed over there at Ireland Shannon Airport, where everybody is upset, had to stay there for 24 hours. So the band said, just stay there. Don't go back home. We'll give you all the beer you can drink. So now you have these people who are getting absolutely toasted by putting back as many pints as they can. This is going to happen. The band flies over. They arrive in Canada first. Okay. Then they're going to fly down to New York. The problem is two of the band members had a drug bust in Canada and weren't allowed to get into Canada. So they had to somehow get into New York. So now they can't get in there.
Right.
When they finally do get into New York 2 days later, the plane has now been sitting for 48 hours with the journalists. The journalists come over and they're so absolutely plastered, half of them don't even make it to the concert.
Right.
And those that do are so drunk, they don't write a darn thing about the whole concert. Brinsley Schwartz, although putting out six albums and headlining the Glastonbury Festival, has six albums and nothing happens.
Wow.
And furthermore, had to go into bankruptcy because this whole debacle cost $60,000. And their record company said they had to pay for the whole thing.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, so the whole thing fell out. And that was the destruction of Brinsley Schwartz.
Over a fuel line.
Over a fuel line, probably. Now, he, Nick Lowe of Brinsley Schwartz, went on to have a bit of success. He wrote a couple songs, What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. But Brinsley Schwartz blew it apart. Here is Nick Lowe. Cruel to Be Kind. Rock School. Rock School, as we go on with a few stories here from Rockstar Babylon by John Holmes. Let me give you one we won't play a song for. Blondie claims, as she was talking to ABC Television in 2003, that she was picked up by a serial killer, specifically Ted Bundy.
What?
Apparently Ted Bundy would drive around in a Beetle, a little Volkswagen Beetle, and would pick up women. He also used to wear a fake plaster cast on his arm and pretend that he was having trouble getting a couch in the back of a van. And when
Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah, when he would fake, you know, not being able to put it in there. When the woman would come up to help him, he would grab and throw him in the back.
Right.
According to her, this is what she said. Quote, I was being, you know, a bad girl. I was up late and trying to get across town to a party. It was 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And she said, a guy stopped to pick her up in a little tiny orange car. And she said, I got in without thinking twice. And when she said, I got in, she was unable to crank the window down. There were no cranks on the inside. In fact, the entire car was stripped.
Yeah.
And it was just him, her, the two bucket seats she was sitting in. Nothing in the back. Everything had been torn out of it. And it was just those two things. And she said the hair on the back of her neck stood up, and she said out loud, wiggled her arm out of the window and opened the car from the outside. And when the door opened up, she threw herself out of the car, rolled on the street, and almost got hit by a cab. And she claims she remembers the look of the guy, because apparently he looked at her, she said, with piercing blue eyes, and she claims that she was picked up by Ted Bundy. Whether it's true or not, and some people have lined up the years and lined up the dates and where she was and where he was and said, no, it couldn't have happened. And other people say, yeah, it could have happened. But according to this book and what Blondie said in a 2003 interview, she was in the car and picked up by Ted Bundy.
Why didn't you just ask him?
Survived. What, Ted Bundy? No, he sat down in a very hot chair not too long ago.
That's what I'm saying. Why didn't they ask him then?
No, I don't have the slightest idea. Hello, WBSD Burlington, Wisconsin. Thanks for running the radio show.
Hello, Radio Universidad in Salamanca, Spain.
Back in 1 minute. Rock School.
Sat in a very hot chair. I know he sat in a hot chair.
He did.
I know he did. I said you could have asked him before he sat in a hot chair.
Okay, I didn't have all your timeline ready to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Rockstar Babylon, that's the book that we're dealing with here. And by the way, we're going to give you about 10, 12 stories out of it. There's probably 60 stories inside of this book. None of them more than 4 pages long, and they're great. It's by John Holmes here. Here is a story that John Holmes titled, Where Eagles Fear to Tread. Apparently, when the Eagles were at their height in the 1980s, they didn't like each other very much, and they used to get into fist fights.
No way.
Yeah, they didn't like each other very much. In 1980, apparently earlier on in the year, at a fundraising concert, Don Felder and Glenn Frey had to be separated by police and fellow band members backstage. Then, in July 30th of the same year, Long Beach, California, it all just exploded. Tempers boiled, but as the show progressed, Frey and Felder spent the entire show describing to each other about how they were going to beat each other up once the show was over. And at the back of it, when back end of the show, it took all kinds of people to pull the band apart from each other. It just exploded. And they finally said, that's it. We're done. And for years and years and years, the Eagles blew apart. Mm-hmm. You know, Glenn Frey went off on his own, and Don Henley had The Boys of Summer and a few other songs. Well, if they were never going to perform together, as they said, we're never going to perform together on the same stage, how is it they got together in 1994 and all performed together on the same stage? You would think the contractual agreement would say something about this, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it did.
Oh, it did.
Even though they're all standing on the same general space, they're not standing on the same stage.
Oh, good.
Chad
Lord.
P.
Why?
Because they made the statement, we'll never perform together on the same stage. They're not. Do you know how they're not standing on? I swear this is true. Do you know how they're not standing on the same stage?
Did they split the stage or what?
Carpet.
Carpet?
Carpet. According to their contract, when the Eagles play together, I'm reading it right, there it is. When the Eagles play together, they each stand on a separate square of different colored carpet, which ensures that technically they never actually play together on the same stage.
Now that's just ridiculous.
Yes, it is. But on the same aspect, the Eagles still get to put out music. Here's Heartache Tonight. Rock School. Somebody's gonna hurt some. All right, one more story from Rockstar Babylon by John Holmes. Great book, by the way. You should be able to find it. I just picked it off a shelf at a bookstore. It's not like I grabbed this from anything off the internet. Just saw it, picked it up, and thought we could put a show together off it.
And did we ever.
Belinda Carlisle, lead singer of the Go-Go's.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1980s, when she was doing her own thing, her own solo stuff, Heaven is a Place on Earth, she almost killed a guy.
What?
Almost killed a guy.
How?
She and her manager. She was being interviewed by a fan of hers for the European press, a German guy who apparently was just absolutely in love with this woman. Well, he also had a pronounced stammer. He stuttered. Okay. Belinda comes backstage and with her manager, and this guy is standing there talking to her, and he becomes, because of his stammer, so mixed up that he starts to ask her a question, and the stammer becomes so pronounced, Belinda Carlisle thinks that this guy's choking on something.
Oh, no.
And she immediately takes the wrong, oh, my God, what can I do to help, thinks that she now has a cape and a big red S on her chest, leaps into action along with her bodyguard, knocks the guy to the ground. He can't yell for help because he's stammering, and now his eyes are bulging, and she's positive he's choking on something. Pins this guy to the ground, pinches his nose, decides to put her lips on his, which he probably was okay with, blows air into him to see if the airway was set. The manager reaches into his throat, you know, to try and get something out, to clear the whole airway of the whole schmeal. It wasn't until somebody who knew the guy said, stop, stop. He just has a stammer. Almost kills a guy.
You don't give a guy mouth to mouth when he's choking?
You know what? He probably didn't much concern himself with that.
That's fine, but I mean,
I wonder what I could do to have somebody. No, I got to stop thinking that way.
Oh, gosh.
So that's the book. We're going to end up with the Go-Go's, a little bit of Belinda Carlisle, Rockstar Babylon. Back next week with another show. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad Pete.
That does it. Class is dismissed.